Welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast with me, Kathy Love. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. Join me for cutting-edge interviews with leaders in the allied health and business fields, along with plenty of practical content that you can use to make your business practice perfect. Alrighty, today on the podcast, we have a little bit of a nervous guest, but I know she's awesome and all that awesome is going to fall out very, very quickly. Jess Rogers is an occupational therapist and the director of Explore and Soar. Welcome, Jess.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Pleasure, pleasure, pleasure. So we've got to get rid of these nerves. Tell us about what you do. Tell us about the business.
Explore and Soar is a mobile business based around communities in the Hunter Valley. So we go to homes, schools, and go to different places in the community to treat and support families and kids. So, yeah.
Good. And what I'm hearing is the wee bit. So yes. who's under the roof? Who's in the business?
Oh, very exciting. In the last 2 months, Explore and Soar have expanded and we've hired 2 new therapists to help myself, reach the demand of the community, which is amazing. The families and the kids are loving them and they're loving joining the team and working with all the kids and learning all the cool strategies and games that we play to help them. So it's been fun.
Yeah. Now, I happen to know that that onboarding and this getting your team going is going really, really well. I want to ask you, what are you doing to make that work so well?
The way that it's gone, I decided to hire 2 people at the same time, but in slightly different timeframes. So because it is a mobile business with different towns and different communities, I've got 2 therapists now working in 2 different locations, but they've done a 2-week onboarding with me where they get to meet the clients. I get to train and teach them and educate them. And then they get to learn the families and the ropes and the different services we provide. And then they've gone out and they're starting to do it by themselves. So that's been really exciting. So I did a month with 1 therapist, and she's now spreading her wings and flying, which is great. And then the second therapist has just done the first couple of weeks and she's about to spread her wings and start seeing clients tomorrow actually and next week, which is awesome.
And the learning and the love is going to continue. You've got sort of weeks forward planned in terms of what their development's going to be. But
yeah,
just kind of share up what you're doing next Friday.
Oh, next Friday, we're doing a retreat, which will be so much fun. So we're doing a Friday afternoon, evening, and a Saturday morning. So they've got an idea around the different types of intervention. They've got an idea of the business and our values and where we've come from, where we're heading. But it's basically a retreat to kind of form our team. So we're all working together. We're all collaborating. We're all learning from each other. We're consolidating and expanding the purpose and their values and bringing in their what they've feel their cultural values are to the team as well. And we're going to really focus on that. And then we're also going to focus on building and becoming a team. So we're going out for a dinner, spending some time together and learning new strategies, which will be so fun for the families to start getting involved with and learning. So
yeah. I think it's a great idea. And this team away kind of thing is happening all the time. You know, if I just think about what's popped up in social media, in the groups I participate in, there's questions about, well, what do you do at a retreat and where do you go? And it's kind of great because it's such an indicator of growth. And I'm just going to use maturity, like maturity in a really, really good way, that private practice is really stepping up and really commercializing and corporatizing and all of those other Are they verbs? I think they're verbs. I don't know.
I think so. Yeah.
And really kind of, yeah, bringing all of that stuff to what might be perceived on the outside are quite small and developing businesses, but really applying big thinking. And
definitely.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about the outcomes of that Mighty Fine 24 hours.
Yes, it'll be so much fun. And I think one of the biggest things too is being a mobile service. We are not always in the same place at the same time. So really just making sure that we have the support of each other and that we can communicate and learn from each other. So if we have questions, we are a phone call away, or we've developed that team approach. So if we're not sure, we can ask the other person and really be communicating that. So
how are you making that team communication happen, given that you're an hour or two apart from each other?
Yeah, we're setting up for term two. We're going to have fortnightly or monthly meetings, so we can have like lunches or dinners and catch up and just do our team supervision and caseload management, which would be fun. The other side of it is they've got their personal work phones too, and we've got access to everyone's calendars, so we can see what everyone's doing at a particular time. So if no one's treating, we can kind of call in, be like, hey, this is what's going on, what are your thoughts? And we can brainstorm too at that time of therapy if we're available. If not, then we feed back after. So
are you using Zoom and video conferencing?
Zoom for supervisions if we're not in the same space. If we're in the same location and we can swing it, then we'll do supervisions there if time allows, which is nice. So good old coffee shop supervisions is great.
In talking about clients in code, all of that good stuff.
Yep.
Now, what you mentioned before was that it's sort of been a pretty fast-track business, fair to say.
Yes.
Like just roller coaster business experience for you. What did your business look like July last year? So about 9 months ago.
My business was a sole trader business. Nine months ago in July, I was getting really full. I was busy. I was starting to have wait lists. And was traveling a lot. So it wasn't functional for just myself. I was, really in the community, loving it. And I guess I wanted more. The communities were telling me that they needed more and that they liked the intervention that they were receiving. They were happy with the service and, the demands were out there. So I was an NDIS provider at the time as well, so I had probably 60-40 NDIS and private paying clients, and it was just me working out of home with my equipment in the car, and away we go.
And what were you thinking about when you decided to hit the accelerator for growth?
What was I thinking about? I was thinking about how to do it in a practical way. All my families range from Newcastle all the way to Muswellbrook, Scone. So it's a huge area that explore and source service now. And so I was just trying to think of a practical way that was going to support all of the families and their needs, but also in a cost-effective way. And that still had flexibility and dynamic to meet them in what they were needing. So I got great feedback from a lot of my families that they love the mobile side of it. They love that we go to you, that we come to them, and that, a clinic space didn't seem viable. So I had to look at a different option, which was becoming a mobile company.
Yeah. Now, company is just such a mighty fine segue, because I think you know what we're going to talk about, what I'm going to ask about. So you mentioned that you were sole trader and in South Wales and in a NDIS audit environment. What happened literally overnight when you turned yourself into a proprietary limited trading company. Have you deleted those files?
Oh, yeah. I honestly don't remember if, yeah, actually it got released in July, where NDIS said that the NDIS commissioner was coming out and that they were going to change the registration. And so this is what led into kind of deciding whether I was going to stay a sole trader or whether I was going to transition into a company, knowing that changes were happening with NDIS and what that then meant moving forward. So basically overnight it then turned into, okay, we're going to company, we're going to go down this NDIS road. And at the time, my sole trader business was named something different. It had grown and expanded beyond that name. So I didn't anticipate that basically transitioning from sole trader to company would mean for me completely rebranding. So in the space of July to October, I went through a whirlwind process of transitioning everything from sole trader to company, rebranding, changing the name, and yeah, going through this new process to get ready for NDIS. I think we need to
hear the audit word. Can you not even say the audit word anymore?
No. The audit word is off limits.
A complete audit process for you because of the timing and what you wanted to do.
Yeah, so I also, within knowing that I had to go through the new auditing process, I had until March 31st under the sole trader name, and I wanted to get this sorted really quickly, and I wanted to hire and expand the company in which everyone and the community was kind of directing it to go, just from the interest and everything. So it meant that I went through the audit process very quickly. So
how was it?
Stressful in one word. But I think that's because everything was so uncertain at the time. Not many people were talking about it. Everyone kind of had this set date where they were going to worry about it then. But my set date was now. So I just went into a little bit of a freak out mode, but then regained that and just started. I anticipated the process to be a couple of months, and I originally ballparked my company to completely change over in the 1st of October.
Yeah. So you did it all in 3 months.
So I did it. I rebranded and did it all in 3 months for my private clients. However, the NDIS process took a bit longer than that. It meant the auditing process went from about August through to December for me. So I don't know. What would you like to know about the auditing process?
So I wish listeners could see you.
I'm so nervous still talking about it.
What was good about it? What was good about the audit process?
To be honest, once I got through the stress of it all and understanding the expectations, the benefits of it meant that everything that I didn't do properly or I didn't finalize to the best of my ability for my sole trader company, like my sole trader business, was consolidating policies and procedures, making sure that I did have everything in writing. And really me having a clearer understanding and purpose moving forward with the business, and putting it down on paper. So it gave me the shove that I needed to get it ready before I hired. And I enjoyed the process once I got past the first little bit, which is nerdy to say, I guess. The initial part of learning how to write things a particular way, using NDIS lingo, but also keeping it within the allied health wording as well, that took a little bit of adjusting. And once I got that down pat, it just started to become streamlined and it was coming a lot faster and easier, and I enjoyed that side of it. So believe it or not. I also see the value in it. So now my business wouldn't be where it is now without that part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. What's your motivation to keep the energy in that documentation, policy, procedure, compliance space?
Oh, it means that my staff know exactly where I stand. They know there's no blurred lines. It's all in writing. If they have any questions, they can refer to it or chat to me. But at the end of the day, it's just consistency, stability, and yes, I guess security within the business is they know what to expect. There's nothing coming at them left field or yeah.
Yeah, and what's your obligation ongoing? Do you have another audit this year or a bit more time?
My auditors were amazing in the sense that my situation was a little bit different to what they were originally anticipating and troubleshot. So because I was a sole trader and transitioned to a company, it led me into the verification process, but under the proviso that I technically didn't have any NDIS clients yet, but I did. And if you're a new company, they say that you need to go through the audit process then, and then you have to do a revision in 12 months' time and then do another one 18 months later. So, but my auditors were really on board with me and they said, but Jess, you've already got a client caseload, you've already got NDIS clients and we can check in with them and see what's going on. So you don't need to do this 12-month review. So they've actually pushed it to now I do the standard 18-month review. So now November this year, which is like 18 months since I initiated the auditing process, I'll do my review, which they then now just double check and make sure that I'm meeting all my policies and procedures, that everything is up to date with how the business has expanded, and that I'm still meeting all of their guidelines. And then another review in another 18 months' time, which is the 3-year mark where you then do it all again.
Wow. So yeah. Pretty motivating to stay on top of the policies and procedures, Yes. Rein them out, measure compliance, Yeah. Build your evidence, be like a boss.
Yeah, and the other thing too is because the auditors knew, I spoke to them about my plan, my long-term plan, where this was potentially heading, and they've also, supported me and given me enough to direct me in what I do need to have ready for the end of this year as well. So I'm confident and I know what I need to present and what I need to check, the little checkbox that I need to tick before our audit as well. So I've got that safety and security in them, in their expectation of what's required of me. But then I also have that motivation because I need my clients and families to be, to have that consistency as well across all avenues. So, yeah.
Massive piece of work.
Oh, yes.
Massive. Yeah. What do you as a business owner do incredibly well?
Oh, good question. Rapport, engagement, relationship building. I love it. I love communicating, love interacting with families, love interacting with other clinicians, love networking. I have some great allied health professionals and other team members around us that we all work together collaboratively, refer when need. So I love relationship building and teaching and educating. So that's what I believe I do well.
How are you kind of encouraging your new therapists to take that spirit and apply it as well?
A lot of validation, owning themselves, being comfortable in their own personality because everyone's different, and really acknowledging what they bring to the team. There's a reason why I hired them. They've got these qualities that just their connection and their ability to build rapport with families and kids is just beautiful, but in their own way, that's different from me. So it's really giving them the knowledge and the support to develop their own way of, I guess, coaching and supporting families that still is within the business values and beliefs. So
I'm wondering if that's one of your or possibly the defining point of your business. Is that what makes you your business unique, or is there something else?
Yeah, I'd say that is what makes it unique. That's what I think, what I've learned over particularly doing the sole trader work and then transitioning it into a business. My intervention approach changed a lot in my approach to families and working with them, coming from multiple clinic spaces to then going into the community. It changed, and the importance of relationship building, and not so much building because I've always had that skill. It's been just then consolidating it and refining it to exactly what that family needs at that point in time. So that's been, and I think that's one of our strengths. I think that's what makes us different, is that we validate the families, like that ability to go, I understand what you're doing. But also knowing the other strength is also knowing when it's not our role, and having other allied health professionals or the medical staff to support us in that, and really bringing a team around the clients. Because I mean, my clients and the families, they're in small country towns with limited support, and they just want knowledge. They want education. They want to know who's around to support them. So we very much pride ourselves on networking from that aspect as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and support and care.
Yeah.
Care. Bringing on a new team, that's going really, really well. Growing a business, getting through audit, setting up a company structure. I know you happen to have moved house as well. How do you get it all done?
Yeah, great question. So now startup, I'm going to be completely honest, the work-life balance, I struggled with a lot. I didn't always have the best balance. I was stressed, didn't know what I was doing, learning curve, not many people in the same situation as I was at the time. So just kind of rolling through the motions. So now I learned through setting designated times. So I stopped trying to be treating 5 days a week back to back. That's unrealistic. One way to burn out very quickly. So burnout and mental health and looking after yourself is another huge thing that I'm working with my staff to monitor and manage and look out for that, because it's so easy to lose yourself in wanting to care for others and not having that same back. So now I have certain days and times that I designate for certain things, whether that be back of house stuff, whether that be treating, whether that be actually stopping and taking a step back and looking at what's going on to kind of revisit where our goals and where we're heading to next. So do that within the week. I set a few hours on the weekend to finalize a few things if I haven't done that, and a couple of times in overnight time during the week. But I also then try and keep things separate. So I don't know. I'm just now rambling around the question.
For nearly every single business owner, and myself included back in the day, it is a movable feast. And you're absolutely right. It's really easy to lose your sense of self in serving others and in getting bills paid and getting everything done and keeping all the balls in the air. And it can be a pretty steep learning curve sometimes to actually have to pull back and say, I'm actually not bringing my best self to anyone or anything at the moment. time. I took a few days off and sat in a cave and kind of regrouped. But I guess the other thing that happens is we keep working, we just habituate to this crazy woman, crazy business owner syndrome, and we don't even realize how depleted we are.
No. I think the move has been a huge positive with that. Mm. Yes, the move came with a lot of stresses. Those stresses have now died down, which is great. But the move now, I'm a little bit out of the community at where I treat. So that has actually provided a bit more work-life balance. The fact that I'm just not around the corner to a lot of my clients has now meant that I have that work and life separation. So I'm now more in contact with my friends and family, chatting to them more during the week as I'm driving to and from, because a lot of them are up early driving to or coming home. So that's really increased my separation and balance. I also do a lot of, I'm very strict and rigid on my food and what I eat, so I can have my best cognitive self there, but also my healthy self. So food's a huge thing for me. I have a lot of sensitivities around that, so I've had to really refine that over the years. But also a lot of body self-care. So I do maintenance at a physio just to make sure that everything's still in check. I see a chiro kinesiologist for that side of things, and I also don't mind a good massage or Reiki every now and again. So that just helps me kind of ground myself. And I'm actually very lucky now, I'm right on the water. So being right next to a beach, right next to water, really calms and grounds me after a day and resets. So there's a few things now.
Yeah, nothing better than to have a range of maintainers, if you like, a range of people, you know, your maintenance team. But wow, I also live on the beach, and nothing beats the toes in the sand, the sand in the toes, and getting slightly drenched with the occasional rogue wave at the end of a day. So hard to beat. Sorry, city slickers. It's kind of cool out here.
And I, honestly, I love the countryside as well. But where I was at before didn't have enough water, and I need bush and water together, and I've got national parks right near me now, and I'm right on the water. So now I'm smack bang in the middle of everything. So as much as I love the country to live, I need both. So now I'm just being needy.
No. You deserve it all. It's all good. It's all good. What's kind of on the plans for the rest of this year for you? You don't have to share all your secrets, but what do you think the business will look like, you know, in 10, 12 months' time?
Oh, bigger.
Bigger.
Yeah. Brighter. Yeah, we've got families. I don't know. There's so many different options I'm weighing up. I've had like multiple families ask about adult OT and assessments. So there's that option coming down the line of, you know, playing on what's going to happen down that side of things. Because at the end of the day, these parents, they're parents of the kids that we're seeing. So how can we bring the therapy as a whole? So really looking down that road. We'll just see some potential training options for schools, for families, for communities. I think that's coming. Yeah. And, more therapists, more supports. We need more, whilst maintaining the quality. So I'm not into rushing. Yes, my two-year plan happened in 12 months last year. I've had to move the goalposts again, but, you know, we're just going to roll with it and see what comes out too, see what the community and the families are after. Yeah. Be adaptable. Yeah.
So, Jess, what wisdom or what would you like to say to business owners that, like you, are 1 or 2 years down the track?
First of all, don't lose yourself. You have to keep yourself accountable. Look at what's going on for you. Biggest learning curves have been what's happening in your life will be transpired into your work life. So if there's things not happening the way that you think in your business life, to check back into what's happening personally, and always look after yourself first. And also just look into your soul and what makes you happy. And if you're still on the right path, then trust your gut. I love teaching, I love educating, and I love being with the kids. The kids are what makes my soul happy. So that's my motivation and passion. So, yeah.
Beautiful. I think we'll leave it there. I'd love to get you the part two of the story in a little while's time. So I hope you're comfy to come back and talk to us again about where Explore and Soar is up to.
Oh, definitely. It'd be exciting to see.
Alrighty. Thanks, Jess.
No worries. Thank you so much.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. For show notes and other resources, please visit practicemadeperfectpodcast.com. While you are there, you can subscribe for future episodes and continue your business adventure with me. And please be sure to share this and other episodes with your friends and colleagues.